This is the Wally Show podcast. To hear the live version, check us out each weekday morning through the WayFM app or at our website, wayfm.com/Wally.
The Wally Show podcast is brought to you by Colorado Christian University Online, where Wally teaches and where you can earn a degree online just like Betty Rock. You can learn more at ccu.edu/Wally. This podcast is also brought to you by United Faith Mortgage. Let their direct lender advantage save you time and money.
Uplifting WayFM.
Here's what's going on today.
The destruction left from Hurricane Ian will leave many Floridians in a state of rebuilding. I mean, for months, if not years to come.
Sure.
Yeah, and in these instances, it's understandable for each to think of their own issues, but that wasn't the case for a handful of locals who came out to help with Operation Noah's Ark.
Nice. That even sounds cool.
Doesn't it? Well, the destination was Malama Manu Sanctuary in Pine Island, Florida. Do you know where that is?
No, actually, I don't.
Well, it is an island
on the coast
of Florida, if you guess you didn't know that. But it's also home to rare and exotic birds like macaws, cockatoos, and the king parrot, which I didn't even know was a thing. But they were all stranded on this island and in need of rescue because the birds rely on food donated by wildlife officials. And with the hurricane taking down the main bridge to the island, trucks being there to deliver the food, it was just impossible.
Okay, so it is a sanctuary.
Yes, bird sanctuary.
Because I was thinking, if it's not a sanctuary, those are dumb birds because, like, they could fly from the island.
Oh, no.
Like, the road is out. They'll never get free. Like, okay, they're birds. Okay, so they're being...
It's a sanctuary.
Got it. Now I'm on board.
Okay, so volunteers were able to capture and cage all 275 birds on the island. And a ferry took them back to the main island, to the mainland, where they were all rehomed at another sanctuary.
Okay.
So
nice.
We can all say that Operation Noah's Ark was a success.
Nice. I mean, it worked once. Why not work again, you know? So the thing is, when you see the devastation, human life is far more important than animal life, in my opinion. If I had to choose, I'm going to choose human every time. And it would be easy to go, well, there's so much devastation. Why are we talking about parrots? You know, it's not important. But the thing about this is when people get together and they do something to help the helpless creatures or people that are helpless, like it does something inside of them. And then that can spur out to other people getting involved in doing other things, you know, and helping people as well.
Exactly. It's something where it can help someone feel valuable.
Exactly.
It helps them feel useful. And if that can help someone in their mental process of this whole thing, I think that's a great thing.
Absolutely. Well, there you go. Thank you, Lady Rock. FM, this is the Wally Show, and they have days for different things, you know, to celebrate or to highlight and bring awareness to things, and today is National Depression Screening Day, and I thought that was interesting, too, because it's, you know, focusing on if you're not in a good place, talking to somebody, get some help, you know, and we started talking about this in the office between the three of us, and depression is one of those things that can sneak up on you. You don't see it coming, and it's something that can alter your life drastically. But people who haven't fully experienced depression don't always understand it.
Yeah, or it may be someone who is experiencing it for the very first time.
Yeah.
They don't really know what it is that's affecting them. And so it's so important to keep an open discussion on depression and mental health in general, just so those of us who don't know what it is maybe can get help from others.
So the thing about this is we'll open things up to you, and especially right now if you are in that place where you've walked through this or you're in the middle of walking through it, because it can be lifelong also, you know. And so this is your chance to finish this sentence. We do this from time to time with different subjects, but what I wish people knew about depression. Like, if you could focus it down and you don't have much time to tell somebody about it, what do you want them to understand to help them better understand you or to help them better understand someone that you love that's going through this? You know, because I've seen that happen before, too. Like, you watch somebody, like somebody's family, and you're like, what is the deal with their dad? You know, because on the outside, you're just like, he's a dad, you know, you don't think about it. And then you start getting into it and you see that the decisions they're making or the behaviors they have are driven by this depression that no one else knows about, you know, and it's easy to judge other people.
And it's so important to talk about it, because I think that's what's the leading hurt that comes from depression is keeping silent, because you don't want to be a burden on someone else. But man, if you start talking about it, that helps so much.
So how would you fill in that blank? What I wish people knew about depression? 855-33-WAY-FM. And I know, like, our moniker is uplifting, and life isn't always uplifting, but this is important, you know, and I think that these moments can also, too, still be positive, and that's why we're trying to find the good inside of this bad. So 855-33-WAY-FM. We'll take yours now. So, Jody, how would you fill that in?
It's okay to not be okay, because it won't always be this way.
I like the hope in that, that it won't always be this way, because for a lot of people going through depression, you A, either feel that way, or B, looking at it from the outside, you think, well, it's just the way you're wired, and you're going to be like this your whole life. So I like the hope in that. Have you struggled with this personally, or someone in your life?
That's my mantra.
Oh, that's good.
For me, it's for me.
Is this something that you're currently battling right now, Jody?
It's something I've battled probably a good half of my life with. Even though you always have depression, like, it's a part of you, it isn't always going to be bad. Like, there's good days and there's bad days. You just have to accept both. It's just like life. But if you get up and just wash one dish, you've done something. Because that's the hardest part, is getting up and doing.
There you go. That's good advice, too. Like, baby steps, little victories. And if you string enough of those together, you can pull out of the moment that you're in sometimes. Well, hey, I really appreciate you, Jody, taking the time. I guarantee you that helped somebody out today. So thank you.
Thank you.
So, Beth, what would you add to this?
A trip to the altar does not take care of it. I had a pastor say one time, all you people dealing with depression and anxiety, one good trip to the altar would take care of that. And I told him, if you believe that, you have never been depressed.
Yeah, see, that's a damaging thing inside of Christianity. We know that Jesus is enough for our salvation. We know that he's enough to carry us through things, but he doesn't absolve us of the hard things of life. And so to say that, oh, I can be healed from depression if I just pray hard enough, I don't believe that. I think for some people, it is a chemical imbalance that God gave us doctors to help us deal with it.
Absolutely. I've struggled with depression my entire adult life, and it's something that you have to seek help for. Trying to be a better Christian is not going to resolve it.
Yes, and if anything, if you're in the midst of depression and then you're thinking, I'm not doing enough, or
right,
I'm a terrible person because I'm not praying hard enough, that's just going to send you spiraling down even further. So,
exactly.
So for you to put the message out that that's not the case, I think that can help so many people.
I hope so, because I wouldn't seek help for years. And finally, my mother said, if you were diabetic, would you go to the doctor and seek help? And I said, absolutely. She said, it's no different.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great perspective that we need to speak more about, especially inside the church, that it's okay to seek medical help and get things worked out.
Yes.
And pray.
Yes.
And be a believer, you mm-hmm. know? They're not
yes.
an or situation.
Yes. Right. It all works together for a common goal. I appreciate y'all so much for addressing this.
So what would you add to this, Christina?
I would want people to understand that living with depression is not really a choice. It can feel like you're living in the bottom of a well with a rock on the top. It's not something you can just will yourself out of.
So I'm curious, what advice would you have for somebody who has someone in their life that deals with depression and they just want to help them?
Just remember that if you're coming alongside someone you love and you care about and you're wanting to help them, but you just don't know what to say, one of the best things to do is to keep your words few. It doesn't help to say, hey, you know, let's cheer up. You have a lot to be grateful for. You know, this is going to pass. It's just not that simple. Rather than doing that, you can reach out to them and say, hey, we're going to go do this. For example, like, we're going to go take a walk. Not asking them if they want to, but saying, this is what we're going to do. And often the feelings will follow the action.
That's interesting because Mandisa, who like on the surface was one of the happiest people on the planet, was dealing with depression. And she had friends who were really intentional in her life that said, you are not okay. We are coming over, which she attributes to saving her life. We actually had Mandisa on the show and she opened up about her struggle with depression and how her faith colors it and how she sees it in light of God and the Bible. And I think it's a really important and powerful perspective. And maybe it's something that if you're walking through this today, you need to hear, or somebody you know needs to hear it and you can share it with them.
I think there's a lot of shame surrounding depression and feeling like you are less of a Christian if it's something that you battle with. But as I read the Bible, I see a lot of people who I think struggled with depression. And what I see is God's compassion. And I don't see God turning his back away and saying, I'm so disappointed in you. I'm good all the time. And how could you question that? What I see is him going to that person in love and acceptance. And it's through his grace that they start to come out of it. It's not something that we should hide and act like it doesn't exist. I think it's something we need to talk about because a lot of people are wrestling with things like this.
Shops, poolside, back porch, picnic table at the park, at your kid's soccer practice. Just about anywhere can be your classroom when you decide to go back to school online at Colorado Christian University.
I know I got my degree online and I actually did a homework at a campsite. I was sitting around a campfire writing a paper. That is where I did some of my work that weekend. So life doesn't have to stop just because you go back to school to better yourself. You can work towards this future and this goal that you want to accomplish, and it doesn't have to totally consume you or derail your normal life with friends, your family, or what have you.
And you can earn accredited degrees from Colorado Christian without ever setting foot on campus.
So there really shouldn't be an excuse to not going back to school. If it's something you really want to do, you can do it. And all you have to do is go to ccu.edu/Wally to learn more. And the other really important thing is that Colorado Christian is committed to cultivating the mind without compromising the heart. So check it out, ccu.edu/Wally.
Uplifting WayFM.
Here's what's going on today.
It seems like we are being manipulated, and not just by one person, but by everyone in our lives.
Everyone's out to get us.
Yes, and it's super apparent when you look at what's going on in the world, and that no one is looking out for you. The White House just expressed disappointment following the announcement from OPEC. Okay, do you know who OPEC is?
Mm-mm.
They're the people that control vast majorities of the oil that comes out of the reserves. Okay, so around, like, it's all the countries that combine and stuff, but predominantly the Middle East controls it. So they just announced that they are going to cut the production of barrels of oil, which gas is made from, by 2 million barrels per day. I mean, that's a lot that we use.
Ooh.
So what do you think that does? You cut the production of barrels of oil, which means gas prices go up. We were just starting to come down, and OPEC's like, joke on you. We are not going to let your gas prices go down. We're going to cut the production so we can create the demand, which then also raises the gas prices. It's just on a certain level evil.
It is. It's like the people, the higher ups with all the money are just laughing at us poor peasants.
Yeah.
Making fun.
And OPEC is the alliance, and Russia's in it as well. So they have a voice and a say in this, which is crazy. So the cost of what this means for you is that the cost of gas is going to go up around November, you know, so you're going to start seeing it go back up and climb. The White House did say that they are going to release some of our barrels of oil that we have in our strategic reserve. Like, we hold on to some, like over here, like a savings account in case things get too crazy, then we can let some of it go because we don't have the same oil resources that other countries have. Like, we have good resources, but we get into fighting about should we not use them. And so the bottom line is you're not out of the woods yet when it comes to gas prices.
So then does this mean that California might be on track for us to get electric cars? Then we wouldn't be...
Well, that's the idea, is that you get off of dependency of oil. So I understand that, but the infrastructure isn't there to really do it yet. Someone had done a post in about Hurricane Ian that went through Florida and how they were out of power, still out of power. And they made the observation that if this is California, you know, in 2030, no one would be able to charge their cars again and drive. So every resource we have, whether it's renewable, clean, whether it's oil, all has its downfall and its problems. So anyway, just prepare. I'm just saying plan for if you have to, if gas prices are a problem for you, just know that you are going to see a little bit higher prices and you might want to plan for it. Uplifting Way FM. This is the Wally Show. And one of the things I think we wrestle with inside of Christianity is guilt. And guilt about everything, you know.
Yes.
It can run on you very quickly. And it can be like silly things. It really aren't faith issues, but like you just feel guilty. Like, should I do this? Should I not do this?
Right. Right. And that's where I found myself recently. So I got a notice in the mail saying that I needed to update my license plate on my car. And so I go to the website that I'm supposed to. And when I go there, I see that there are two options for which license plate I would like to choose from. One of them is the original, that's what they call it, and then the other one is the In God We Trust version.
Well, obviously you got that.
Obviously, I went through the extra steps to get that one because I would feel guilty because I put myself in that scenario of like, what if I have a friend who's also a Christian and they went through the extra steps to get the In God We Trust.
Right.
They come to my car, they see that I got the original, and then they start like, you know, guilt shaming me into thinking that I did the wrong thing.
Right.
So I ended up doing it.
You are a mediocre Christian. I myself am a fantastic Christian because we bought a car and they gave us the license plate without In God We Trust on it, even though we had asked for it.
Oh.
And so we got it delivered with the other thing, and we had to make a separate trip to go to the license plate to change them in.
Whoa.
Just for the In God We Trust, because I'm not having a plate on my car without In God We Trust if there is that option.
See, it's something that you feel like I should have. If I believe that I am a Christian, I should have this thing that proves that I am.
Yeah, I would feel I would feel guilty. I would feel guilty if I didn't. That's an option. I would feel guilty if I didn't have it. So I am curious, like, what is kind of that thing you might know is silly, you know, but you feel guilty about it inside of your faith sometimes, or your faith colors your perception, and you're like, I feel guilty, but really, is it that big of a deal? Like,
right,
I'm not doing anything wrong.
It's a little bit more effort on your part, and it's not like it's technically wrong, but it just, as a Christian, you make feel a little wrong.
855-33-WAY-FM is the number. I love having your perspective on different things that we talk about. So here, you can do it right now. 855-33-WAY-FM. Do you have anything like that, Sophia?
I feel guilty using the In God We Trust because I'm not a good driver and somebody might have road rage.
You bring up a valid point, Sophia. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, Betty's going to go turn her license plate in.
Did I get the original?
I'm not a good person when I drive. That's so good. Sophia, thanks for the laugh today.
Okay, have a blessed day.
All right, Caitlin, you're up. What is that thing that you feel a little guilty about, you know, as a Christian, even though you really don't need to?
In my entryway, I have about 4 crosses hanging up. And one of them I do not like the design of, and I feel too guilty to change it out. The fact that it's a cross, I cannot donate it. I cannot.
You can't throw it away. You definitely cannot throw it away.
I know. So I feel, I've had it like 10 years, and I do not like it.
I get that. I do understand that. You are definitely in a quandary where you can't even donate it, like, because I would donate it and just be done with it. Mm-hmm. But I don't share your level of guilt with that.
Yeah, I just can't do it.
What's that thing for you, Mariana?
Well, for me, it's like the good parking spot, whether it's at work or church or even the grocery store. If I see a good spot, I'm like, I should pass it. I should go to the back. I'm able-bodied. I can walk from there. And then some days I don't pass it, and I park in the front, and I walk in, and I'm like,
oh my gosh, you're the worst.
Stop it. No, she's not.
Marianna's the worst. Like a second ago, she was a servant doing the Lord's work, and now she's just all like.
Especially if it's early in the morning, I'll like go into the grocery store from that front spot, and I'm just thinking about it the whole time. I'm like, you know, someone else might have needed it.
Do you find yourself hurrying through the grocery store so that you can get back to your car quickly, just so someone might be able to get that spot?
I think at some point the care kind of breaks down and I just take my time.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, okay. See, I'm not impressed anymore. A few minutes ago, I was really impressed with Marianna.
Aww.
Hey, I appreciate you being on the show with us. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys.
All right, Larry, you're up. What is that Christian guilt that you carry?
My guilt is when I'm listening to my radio, my Christian music, and a song comes on that I really don't like, but I can't turn it, so I just turn it down so it's still on, but I never turned it.
Lord, I'm not forsaking you. I just don't like Newsboys or whatever, you know?
That is hilarious. Now, how often does this happen, Larry? How often do you have to turn the radio down?
Not very often at all. Just certain ones that are really kind of whiny sometimes.
Whiny?
Speaking of whiny, bigger question, have you ever turned our show down?
No, never. Y'all are my favorite.
I don't even care if you're lying. Thank you.
Yes.
What do you got?
When you pray as a group of people, a group of Christians, and you got a bunch of prayer warriors, and everybody's got their head down and their eyes closed and their hands up and worship and prayer, and then I'm the guy that's sitting over in the corner with my eyes wide open and looking around at everybody, still praying, but at the same time kind of feeling guilty about, should I have my eyes closed too?
Creepy open eye prayer guy. Yeah, I get that.
Now, why is it that you keep your eyes open if you feel guilty about it? I mean, it seems like it would be just simple to close your eyes.
It does, doesn't it? But I think I like to be super observant of what's going on around me, and I think maybe I just feel a little bit vulnerable when I'm doing that.
Okay, here's where I feel guilty, because I share this. If I'm ever at a place that's doing an altar call, and they start with, I see that hand. I see that hand in the back. I see that hand over there. I always look.
No,
I do.
You can't do that.
I do. I look, and on more than one occasion, ain't no hands. Yes, I'm dead serious.
No, because then,
Yep, I've seen it with my own eyes that I maybe shouldn't have seen it because we were praying, but
no,
I have seen it.
No, I don't believe
it.
That.
I swear, truthful.
You're not in the same, eye range as the pastor is up on stage.
Mm-hmm. But you can still see everybody.
Yeah, Dennis gets it.
No,
Dennis,
you don't get it. No.
Getting the facts mostly right.
Even Woody and Buzz got under each other's plastic.
Wasn't Woody made out of cloth?
Yeah, I appreciate you, maybe now's not the time.
That's our commitment to you. It's News-ish on The Wally Show.
What you got, Gavin?
Nowadays, one of the greatest resources that we can use to learn how to tackle a project or learn a new skill is the internet.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. YouTube is amazing.
They have a video for probably every single mundane thing that goes wrong with your car, with a washer, with anything in your house.
And even like specialized things. I'm like, I need to learn how to put up a soffit. Soffit. Bloop, there it was. Like 20 videos on it.
And so it's amazing. And apparently, adults aren't the only ones who are learning things through the internet. Apparently, teenagers who have way more easy access to the internet nowadays than I ever remember having access to it. They're apparently learning a lot of things. And I found a list of the top things that that teenagers are learning through the internet.
How to be an influencer. If that's on there, I quit. I quit life.
It's funny because I fully expected that one to be on here because it's becoming like a surefire field that you can work in as a kid. And it's a little bit crazy, but it wasn't on this list.
Thank goodness.
So things that were on this list, there was fashion and hair hacks.
There's a lot of fashion stuff on TikTok.
Well, and Gavin, you're one of those that's looking at the internet for fashion advice.
I am constantly inspired by TikTok to influence my fashion.
Yeah, sadly.
Sadly, it's not going that well. Another thing that I thought was interesting was apparently teenagers are turning to the internet to learn foreign languages.
Oh, that's good. That's actually a very healthy, productive use of your time.
Yeah, there's a lot of moments that I wish I knew a different language to meet someone where they're at. So if kids are starting that on their own, of their own free volition, I feel like that's really
good
for the future generations.
Or they just don't want to know what other people are saying behind their back.
That too. Some other things that are probably less than important, there's movies and video games.
Yeah.
definitely important.
Yeah, I love people, kids that watch other kids play video games. That's a big thing.
I've done that myself.
Oh, yeah, not me. It's weird. Watch a tutorial to figure out how to get through something I can't get through, but to just watch somebody play a video game, I can't do that.
Yeah. All right, and then one of the highest things on this list that I think TikTok is probably very responsible for is dancing.
Dancing, yep. Yes. I'll tell you, man, I'm not going to throw shade at TikTok dances. I wish, I wish I had the ability to someone go, hey, let's do a TikTok dance, and I could just crush it and shock everybody. I can whip and nay-nay, kind of, and I can stanky leg, but that's about the best I can do. Like, I can't, that, nothing.
I think we need to stop there.
And I can dab. I can dab like a champ, but that's it.
I think if you do some of the more modern stuff, you might end up hurting yourself, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They asked me to do one time, and it was so bad here, and it was just, it was humiliating, honestly. If I could have a skill, any skill, other than talking to animals, that would be the skill I would choose, is to be able to do every TikTok dance, like, and look cool doing
it. Wow.
Uplifting FM. This is The Wally Show. Start giggling at this right out of the gate. I like when people decorate for Christmas, you know, Christmas lights everywhere and stuff, and that seems like a no-brainer, but some people go just as hard for Halloween.
They do. And is that, I mean, I know, like, in the Christian realm,
right,
decorating for Halloween is probably not the best, but if they're not, I mean, Halloween doesn't have to be.
But this one is. This one is. Like, sometimes you have a cute little inflatable. It's a pumpkin.
Yeah, whatever. And a little black cat.
No, this one in our neighborhood is beyond. It has two. Count them, two. Because one last year was not good enough. 12-foot giant skeletons. Ooh. That light up, one holding a head.
Yes.
Horrifying.
Yeah. And it just, I mean, they've upped their game. Now there's tombstones and they even took like a little Tykes playhouse and then painted it all black.
That's
creative.
They're all in, I'm not trying to be judgmental because I get it. If Christmas isn't your thing, you know, and you like this, that's your thing.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, it's the entire house. Skeletons climbing up the side, lights. I mean, they're all in.
And it's like they want the attention.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, with all of that going on, they want people to make a fuss.
And, like, they were new to the neighborhood last year. I think they're renting. And, like, so they went what I thought was all out last year. And this year, they're like, you know what? I don't think we've really gotten to know people as much as we thought we would.
Step it up a notch.
Let's take this off. And it is crazy. So I am curious. We're going to do five calls it, okay? I'm curious if I'm being oversensitive here, okay? Quite simply, even if you don't share the same Halloween passion that other people have, how many skeletons is too many? Okay, we're clocking in at 19 in this place.
And really?
And what really makes me curious is, why not go for 20 at that point? What held you back? Like, did you look at your display and went, you know, 20 would be overkill? No pun intended. But like 19 skeletons, okay? I think it's a little much. So we'll take an average here.
Yeah.
I'm just curious if you have that person, or maybe you are that person. What is the acceptable amount of skeleti? That's the plural of skeletons in somebody's Halloween display. And zero is a fine option as well. 855-33-WAY-FM. Five calls it. We'll take the average from you right now. I just need to know if I'm crazy or not. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. And in my neighborhood, we have some people that have moved in and they love themselves some Halloween. They have gone all out, like 19 skeletons, two of which are 12 foot or better. It's a big display. And for me personally, I'm not into it. I don't do the Halloween stuff. So I'm curious, we're doing five calls it here. How many skeletons is too many skeletons? Where does it become gauche? Okay. So Jerry, what do you say?
Infinity.
Oh, you like them? You're in favor of them?
Yeah, it all depends on what your theme is. It's
got a theme.
You're dressing them up as a theme. Like last year, I did a Godfather theme. I've done a Wizard of Oz theme. It all depends on what the theme is. It all depends on how many skeletons you need.
That's interesting. Okay. That's interesting that you, like, use the skeletons as props for a theme. I've never seen that before. These are just run-of-the-mill skeletons in my neighborhood. So, all right. Give me a number, though. I need a number.
So, I have at least 10 of them.
right now, and we're looking to get more.
Okay, you're going to be my curve buster in this thing, Jerry. I can feel it. All right, man, I appreciate you. Hey, thanks for being on Five Calls Calls It.
You're welcome. You guys have a good day.
All right, Dan, you're up. How many skeletons is too many?
Hey, Wally, there's never too many skeletons. Let your neighbors do their jam.
Are you kidding me? I got to tell you, I am dumbfounded right now. I really thought this would be people going, yeah, one is too many. But maybe I'm a prude. I don't know.
In essence, if you're hating the skeletons, you're hating yourself because inside of you
is a little skeleton.
Yes.
Literally. Hey, Dan, thanks for being on with us.
No problem. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right, Antoinette, you're up. Five Calls Calls It. So far, people big time in favor of skeletons for a Halloween display, and I'm really surprised. So I'm like thinking that there should be a limit on how many skeletons you have in a display. So how many is too many to you?
Well, I'm a Halloween Christian, so I go through this every year. I think there's no such thing because God made skeletons. I have a year-round tree for every holiday, and right now my Halloween tree is covered with spiders and pumpkins and cobwebs.
There are a lot of people, that, and probably many of them listening, that are going to like just drill me with emails after this. It's macabre and it's evil and it celebrates the dead. And like, why would you even talk about this, you know, on a Christian radio station, you know, kind of thing. And I was just curious. So I'm really just honestly surprised that three people so far that listen to the show are like, oh, yeah, we love doing this. And that's the one thing I love about this job is it always surprises me. Right when I think I've finally understood everyone that listens, I'm wrong. So I appreciate you being on with us today. Thank you.
Awesome. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. If she had said happy Halloween, that would have pushed us over the edge. I'd be fielding emails for the rest of the day. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show, and every day our faith colors what we do in our life and in our jobs, and we try to compartmentalize sometimes, but I don't think so. I think our faith should be a part of us no matter what we're doing, and the Philadelphia Eagles, they started off the season in an amazing fashion, remaining undefeated through week four, and part of this is because of wide receiver A.J. Brown, but what's so cool is that beyond his field abilities, his faith is just as impressive, and he's not ashamed of it either. He sports a big cross drawn in the eye, black underneath his eyes for most games, and he's been known to pray on the field. He's spoken in press conferences unapologetically about his faith, and he credits his success to God. And his outlook on what he does in the light of his faith is, I think, something we all can apply to our lives and our jobs. Even though we're not on a football field making all this money and things like that, there's a principle to this that I think is really important. He says, I play for God. I don't play for the expectations of man. I play this game because God's given me the ability to play this game, and I'm doing my best and my due diligence to give back to him. Hmm. If we all looked at our jobs like that, I mean, it would be totally like redefining for us personally as well as the people around us.
Yeah, I think it gives credence to that idea that God has you where he wants you. And I think it's easier for some people to say that when they're making millions of dollars, but for him to have that huge of a platform and be able to say God's name on that huge of a platform is awesome.
Oh, it is great. But for us, it matters just as much, no matter what you do. I remember telling my daughter one time, she's like into musical theater and stuff. And I'm like, that's what you do. That's not who you are. You know, that's just the thing that you do. Like, radio is the thing that I do, but it's not technically who I am.
Right. Colossians 3:23, that's what this reminds me of. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters.
There you go.
And I think that's really true, because sometimes we can find our jobs to be maybe mundane or boring, but if you, or maybe you're just, you know, fed up with your boss, who knows?
Sure. That was all truth from Betty right there,
anyway,
I think.
All that to say, sometimes we need to change our perspective and realize that, you know, while our boss may be our earthly boss, we do have one boss that we all answer to, and that is God.
Audience of one, man. That's what you are supposed to be doing stuff for. And God's gifted us all in something, and we should use that gift, whatever it is, to bring honor to him. And I think doing so will give purpose beyond a paycheck. And so, I don't know, maybe something to think about as you head to work today, especially if you're like not happy with your job. Like, oh, well, how could I use this job to share my faith with other people? And you might make it a little bit better for you and for them today.
And now for some good news.
Yeehaw! Uplifting! Play FM, this here's the Wally Show, a little good news giddy-up. It's a roundup of rapid-fire good news stories designed to make you feel better because the regular news can be a bit heavy. So we're going to start with you, Betty Rock. Good news giddy-up, go.
In Oregon, there's a 20-year-old man who was adopted when he was a kid, not at 20 years old.
It's so cute. I love these stories.
And as most adopted kids do, he wanted to track down his own family, his birth family someday. But instead, they tracked him down.
So it turned the script. I like it.
So it turns out his brother found him on Instagram, and then they got in touch. And within 24 hours, they were on a flight to meet each other.
That's crazy.
That is. So he has a mom, a brother, and two sisters.
I always love those stories, like where they do find their families, and it's a good situation. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I like that. That's awesome. Good news giddy up. Gavin, go.
There is a 107-year-old veteran in Colorado named Harold, and he just got a Silver Star, one of the highest honors for valor that you can get in the military. He was shot 3 times during World War II.
Wow.
Got hit in the chest with shrapnel at one point, and then he even went back to keep fighting and serving after he had his appendix removed.
See, like, that's what America used to be made of. Now people are like, oh, you hurt my feelings.
I stubbed my toe and I'm out for the day.
Exactly. Like, that's when America was great, is that guy. What's his name, Larry?
Harold.
Harold, yeah. It sounds like a Harold American thing to do. Yeah, and this is kind of cool. There was a 21-year-old in Tennessee named Ashton, and he's got autism, but he didn't let it stop him from starting his own business during the pandemic. He and his mom noticed, like, cardboard piling up because people were ordering so much off of Amazon, and they would just put it out there. So he opened a recycling service called Unbox, and now he does it full-time, and he's living independently because of it.
Aww. Well, like, done.
How awesome is that? He helped recycle 40 tons of cardboard.
Holy cow.
Yeah, and he's even planning to expand. I love that. So good on him. And that's going to do it for your good news giddy-up today. Being the parent of, like, a little kid, I think, has gotten a lot harder than when I was raising my daughter. She's 23 now, and, man, I got to tell you, the decisions you have to make and the things you have to monitor and protect your children from today has gotten a lot harder. What do you give them that's still entertaining but also aligns with your values? You know, we've talked about Way FM being a product that you don't have to filter, but, like, if you got Netflix in your house, you got to have the filter on.
And even Disney Plus, you have the same problem.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, Disney Plus has been disappointing to me as a parent. And some of the things they've chose to put on there. And, like, you got to watch it, you know? And that's why it's so nice to have something. If I was raising little kids, I would do PureFlix subscription, man, because you've got content on there that you're not having to filter out. And as a parent, I mean, I know we want to be involved in our kids' lives, but sometimes you need to park them in front of the TV and take 10 minutes to yourself. That's why PureFlix is a great option for families. You got family stuff, obviously. They're even dabbling in some drama. Yes, and PureFlix originals. Like, I saw the movie on their Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, and I have to tell you,
you cried.
I did. There was three times.
I did.
I wept, and I was moved, and it was a great movie. And I think if I was raising my child now, I think PureFlix would be definitely a part of my family's entertainment plan.
So if you'd like to try PureFlix, text PURE, that's P-U-R-E, to 91979 to get your 1 week free trial. Faith and Family Entertainment with no ads on your favorite devices.
Uplifting Way FM. This is The Rock Report with Betty Rock.
It's been almost a year since the accidental shooting happened on the set of Alec Baldwin's Western movie Rust. Helena Hutchins, the cinematographer of the film, she was shot and killed by a prop gun being held supposedly in the hands of Baldwin himself. And I know that once it happened, we saw pictures of him outside and he was just a mess. Matthew Hutchins, which is the husband of the victim, he filed a wrongful death lawsuit last year against Baldwin and the rest of the producers on set. And word is that that lawsuit has finally been settled. Of course, we don't know how much money that husband got, but money can't replace his wife.
There was a lot of finger pointing at the time as to what went down, who was responsible, who did not do their job properly, and they tried to blame the armorer girl and then Alec, and he has deeper pockets, so he's a producer, so they go after him. Like, it was, all of that said, it was a tragic situation that was an accident. You know, there was nothing nefarious, but it was an accident, and it's sad that this wife, mom, you know, and daughter passed away.
Yeah. Well, Matthew, the husband, he later issued a statement saying, quote, "I am grateful that the producers in the entertainment community have come together to pay tribute to my wife's final work." So, you know, that, you know, I don't know if he's begrudging of them. Maybe he sees it as an accident as well.
Sure.
But it sounds like he's in a healthy place, at least, so that's good. But while the settlement has been settled, that doesn't mean that Baldwin, as well as anyone else who is on set, won't be charged with something, because a criminal investigation is still ongoing.
Oh, it is.
And so there could be charges that Alec, as well as many others, sure, might have to face.
I kind of doubt it, but you never know at this point. So is shooting going to resume?
Yes, it's going to resume starting January of next year.
I always wondered this because people have this weird macabre thing to them, like where they go visit the death sites of people and things like that.
Yeah.
And I could tell you that, like, people will be watching for that moment in the film. So I'm curious, do they cut out any of that and just reshoot and shoot around it?
Honestly, I'm just...
Because it was a rehearsal. Like, it wasn't in the actual thing.
I'm honestly surprised that they're still doing the movie.
Yeah.
It seems like, out of respect, they would just... forget it. But
right,
who knows what money was put into it already. Yeah. You know, I don't know those things.
Well, that's why when the husband said, you know, come together to support my wife's work, you know, you go, oh, is he in support of the actual movie being finished so people see the last project that she worked on?
Maybe
that could actually, in a weird way, be healing for him as well. So,
maybe so.
Yeah, there you go. So January, you said?
January.
Okay, and then after that, it'll come out at some point in time. So thank you for the update, Lady Rock. That is your Rock Report. Uplifting Way FM, this is The Wally Show. Have either of you, Gavin or Betty, ever shopped at H&M?
Oh, yeah. I've got a few things from there.
I like H&M, like their suits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They run thin, so it's a little tougher with dad bod.
Yeah,
because they don't think anybody has any fat on them, so you have to get a bigger size.
Do they have an age range of people that should be in there?
Oh, I exceed it. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but
well,
it's nice
as long as we're on the same page.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. But I like it. But I'm not a big fan of what they're considering doing. They're considering charging you for returns, like if you shop online, like a restocking fee or charging you a fee to return the thing. That's what makes online shopping so great, is that you can get it, try it, return it. I mean, Amazon perfected this.
Amazon, they're only making Amazon look better if they're going to do this.
Well, yeah, and Amazon's like, oh, yeah, we're not going to charge you for anything. Just take it to Kohl's if you want, or take it here. We'll give you the packing slips. Don't even pack it up anymore.
Right.
You know? Like, it's like they're so great about it. But H&M, it's so funny. They're a Swedish company, and they said they're experimenting in some of their markets with this concept. It all depends on how it's received by the customer. Well, you don't need a focus group to tell you that Americans are going to hate this.
Yeah.
Hate this.
Yeah.
I'm curious if, because it is a younger store and younger people, were they finding that a lot of people were buying clothes, wearing them, then returning them?
And if that's the case...
Because kids do that.
Yeah, and if that's the case, that's not right.
Right, and so they're trying to protect against that. I mean,
yes.
I'm guessing there, but I cannot see that being something that works really well. That would cause me to not do business with them.
Yeah,
you know?
If you are a loyal customer, now...
Not now. No, exactly. So I am curious, like... I don't think that's a good course of action, but are there companies that you've interacted with that have earned your loyalty because they did the right thing by you? Like they were just, they went above and beyond, or there was an issue and they solved it and made it right, and or they just have a thing where they don't hate you like H&M, you know?
Yeah, it's just that those kind of stories, like once they happen to you, you never forget them, and that's sad because it's just not the typical. Typically, we are met with bad customer experience,
right.
But when you find a good one, man, you're loyal to them.
855-33-WAY-FM. I like to highlight good stuff that people are doing too, man, because then you go, oh yeah, I'd like to you patronize that company too. So 855-33-WAY-FM. What is that company that earned your loyalty and how? David, have you ever had like a super good customer service experience with somebody in a company that kind of earned your loyalty?
Yes, I did. Actually, years ago, I had purchased a new suit and I used my American Express card. And one of the things that American Express had as their policy at that time was if something happened to your purchase within, it was either 60 or 90 days, that they would refund the entire amount of the purchase. Well, I was catering an event and I was wearing the suit, and the box that I was carrying just spilled all the vinegar and oil inside the box, and I didn't even know it. So it came up against my suit. It literally ruined the suit. So I got back in touch with American Express, and I said, hey, this is what happened. Just bought the suit. Know you have this policy. And they said, send us the receipts. We'll refund 100% of your purchase price.
Are you kidding me? For something that was kind of your fault. That is good customer service. I wonder if it would work if you're like, hey, American Express, how y'all doing today? This suit doesn't fit anymore. And I know it's only been 3 months, but it's shrunk or something.
Maybe that's a Wally issue.
Hey, why'd you make it personal, David?
I like you, David.
What is that place that understands this and, like, have earned your loyalty, Nikki?
Ours is Publix Grocery Stores.
I will tell you this. You pay a little bit more when you shop at Publix, but there is a marked difference in shopping there versus other stores, for sure.
Oh, yeah. My nephew is severely disabled, and a lot of the grocery stores have this cart called Caroline's Cart. It's designed for people with special needs to be able to fit in it easier. But at Publix, we can park in the handicapped parking space for my nephew and then call the store, and they'll bring that cart out to the car so we can just put him right in it instead of trying to figure out how to get him in the wheelchair and then pull the wheelchair into the store and then transfer him to the cart and do a whole pain in the neck hassle. They'll just bring it straight to the car for us.
See, and that doesn't take a lot of time for them, but it just shows that they care, and you reward them with your business for that. And it's really not that big of a deal on them, but boy, what a difference it makes for you. That is awesome.
Publix always goes above and beyond for everything. I love them, and I'd rather shop at Publix than most other places.
And that free cookie at the bakery for kids is pretty great, too.
Oh, my kids love that.
How do you know that? You're not a kid.
Well, I walk on my knees in there just to get that cookie.
You grab a random stranger's kid, and you're like, hey, give me a cookie.
You're coming with me, kid. I just need you for 5 seconds. What is a company that earned your loyalty there, Jennifer?
So actually, my husband and I were remodeling our bathroom just recently, and we had bought a new toilet to install. And you're supposed to put on the screws very gently. Don't over-tighten. Well, we over-tightened just enough, and the whole toilet cracked.
Oh no.
And so we called Kohler and said, look, this is what happened. And they said, don't worry about it. We'll get you a new toilet. You just have to go pick it up.
That's pretty impressive. I just installed a toilet as well, and I was so paranoid about over tightening that I didn't tighten enough and had an opposite problem. It leaned to the left.
Oh,
yeah.
Can't have that.
Well, I did for a little bit till it slid off. Well, Jennifer, thanks for being on with us today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Oh, I hate goodbyes, but there's still more fun to be found through our YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Just search Wally Show. Don't forget to join our exclusive Potty Facebook group. You can find the link in the description of this podcast. And thanks to Colorado Christian University Online and United Faith Mortgage for supporting what we do.